It is good to have people returning to our building, coming back, and it's amazing just to see faces around the building. For so long I've spoken to a camera or a screen. It is great to see faces. Well, I can't actually see all faces. I can only see this bit, and maybe some of you are struggling with the glasses as well and the mask. I think it was Adrian reminded me this week, it's hard to be optimistic if you have a misty optic. So we've all suffered. If you wear glasses, you know what that means. But it is just so good to be back to some sense of normality, the new normal, as we refer to it now. As I say, 29 weeks since we were last in this building together. And there are probably lots of mixed emotions as we come back, as we start our worship together. Returning is one of those things that is quite mixed for some of us. I want you to imagine you've been out and had a really nice meal, lovely meal, and you think we'll go back to the same restaurant. And you go back to the same restaurant and you're looking forward to that lovely meal, but in the back of your head you're thinking, what happens if it's not as good as it was last time? What happens if I don't enjoy it as much as I did last time? Or maybe it's a holiday. You've had a great holiday. You've been away somewhere beautiful. You have had such a wonderful time that you begin to plan to return. But again, those mixed feelings. Looking forward maybe to reliving all that you had, all that enjoyment, that beauty, that wonder, whatever it was that made the holiday special. But in the back of your head, what happens if the sun doesn't shine this time? What happens if it rains? What happens if the accommodation's not as good as it was last time? All those things, we have mixed emotions when we return. There can be a time of great joy, but it can also be a time just when we're a bit disappointed. It's good to return to our building, but it's not the same. Normally, at the beginning of a service, I would tell you to turn around and say good morning to someone you haven't spoken to, but they're at least 2 meters away from you, so it's probably a big sign or a wave or something that we will do instead. It's just not the same. And singing behind a mask, just not the same. There's a joy in coming back into our building, and yet there's that, it's tinged with that almost disappointment because it's not what we were used to. The exiles back in Jeremiah's time, the nation of Judah is about to be taken off into exile, and they will eventually return to Jerusalem, and it will be a time of great joy. But it's tinged also with, this isn't what we left behind. This is so different. We know the story of the prodigal son so well, the son who heads off with half of his father's inheritance, and then through a series of events is brought to his knees, come back with a sense of shame and guilt and sadness. He returns. It's very different returning. But returning is at the heart of the gospel story. And this morning's passage, which Chris read for us, is about returning. And if you read through that passage, it is just peppered with this word return. Return, return. It's all the way through this passage. But they're not returning to a building. They're not returning to a place. This returning is to do with God. Coming back to God. Returning to God. And all the emotions that go with returning are there as well. Because these people had wandered away from God, so there should be some sense of shame and guilt that we had walked away, but there is also this joy of being welcomed back, this returning. God's people had split into two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, which had its capital in Samaria, and then there was the southern part of the kingdom, Judah, which kept its capital in Jerusalem. Israel had turned away. This northern kingdom had turned away from God. They had been idolatrous in their worship, turned away from God, and they had been taken into exile. So Jeremiah says this in verse 7 of this chapter, which Chris read for us. I thought that after Israel had done all this, she would return to me. But she did not. After all that Israel had been through, the pain, the anguish, the exile, God thought that his people would return to him, but they didn't. And then Jeremiah adds this, and her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. So it wasn't just that Israel had gone off and into exile and failed to return to God, but Judah had sat back and watched it. They had seen what happened. They knew what would happen. They'd seen it worked out. And still they went their own way and did their own thing. Unfaithful Judah. That unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me, says God, with all her heart. So just as Israel, this northern kingdom, was destroyed, so too Judah would be destroyed. Well, you would think that was the end of the story. God's people devastated, scattered. Everything that was dear to them destroyed. Rubble left behind. Nothing worth returning to. You would think that God's grand design was finished. His design to have a people who loved him. His design to have a people who served him obediently and joyfully. His design to have a people who declared his glory, who would be a light to the nations. That's what God's people were to be. They were to be this light that shone out to the nations. You would think it was all over. Let's just rub it out and start again. Some people feel that way about themselves. Make such a mess of life for whatever reason that they think there is no way that God could still love them. There is no way that God could forgive me. If God really knows everything, how is he going to forgive me and love me? And we feel, no, that's the end of the story. God's drawn a line under that, rubbed it out, gone to do something else. But as you read through this chapter, you discover the good news of the gospel. Verse 22, we read, "Return, faithless people, and I will cure you of your backsliding." This sense of, come back to me and I will cure you, I will heal you, I will restore you, I will renew you. And the people echo, "Yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God." The psalmist looks at God's anger and simply says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious." This God whom we worship, this God whom we have turned our backs on, this God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. This is our God. Grace wins. We might have been tempted to rub it out and start again. God's grace wins through. Grace wins. God is angry. It is an expression, if you like, of his righteousness, his holiness. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that God is anger. It's not part of his character. The Bible is quite clear, God is love. That is his character. And so when the psalmist says, slow to anger, abounding in love, the psalmist is saying, look, here's his character. He just abounds in love. He overflows with love. That's who he is. Yes, he's angry because that's an expression of his righteousness, but he is not anger. Slow to anger, abounding in love. What would keep people out of such love? What would exclude people from that forgiveness? Well, the folks in Jeremiah's time discovered that it was only their own unrepentant, hard, proud, rebellious hearts that would exclude them, keep them out of God's mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love. There was nothing about God's love, this abounding love, this love that endures forever, this love that will never let us go. Paul, as he looked back over his life, was to say, I was shown mercy. I was shown God's abounding love. So that in me, and Paul calls himself the worst of sinners, in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul knew what it was like. This man whose mission early on in his life was to destroy the church, was to put down any following of Jesus Christ. And God brings him back and heals him of his backsliding and restores and renews him. So that Paul could look back and say, this Jesus who loved me and gave his life for me. John, when he writes in 1 John, simply says, this is love. This is love. Not that we have loved God. The people in Jeremiah's time might have said, we have loved God. Maybe we haven't done a very good job, but we have loved God in our own faltering way. We have tried, we have stumbled, we have turned back, we have made a mess of it. John said, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. That even when we should have been rubbed out, start again, God's grace wins. When the prodigal son left his father, I'm quite sure his father was angry. But his son setting off with half of his inheritance. But as you read through that story, you realize that father's heart was broken. He watches and waits, and he sees the son coming back. He sees him at a distance. He runs to him. He throws his arms around him. Abounding love. Grace wins. Jeremiah's time. The people who, the God who longed for his people to come back to him, to return to him, is the same God who brought Paul back to him, who caused Paul to return to him, is the same God who wants each of us to return to him. Grace wins. For some of us, this is the day when we return to this building. And that's great. My prayer is it will be much, much more than a return to a building. May it be a return to God. Maybe a recommitment. Whether you're here in the building or whether you're watching online, maybe it is that time of returning so that God can heal us and renew us and restore us. May it be for us a fresh returning to the God who loves us, the God who gave his only Son for us. May it be a day of commitment and recommitment. A day marked by returning. For grace still wins. No matter who you are, no matter what you've come through, no matter what you're in, grace still wins. God's love still abounds for you, overflows for you. May God give us the grace not only to return, but to allow him to restore us and renew us through Jesus Christ. So that this day is marked in a calendar, not just because a few of us have gathered in this building, but because God is doing a great thing in his people. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the God of new beginnings. We thank you that those who are in Christ are new creations. So forgive us, Lord, for our stubbornness, for the idolatry into which we enter when we think that we can sort life out on our own. When we think that we are capable of fixing our own lives, Lord, by your Spirit, help us to return. Help us to experience your grace in ways that we never have before. And to know that your love abounds. And then, Lord, help us to share that love with all those whom we meet this week. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.